Man.
It's just tough to say.
Come one, come all. Man, it's tough to say, y'all. I was thinking about that the entire day, to be honest.
That intro?
I just wanted to say that intro, like, the entire day, from the moment I woke up until now. But it's another edition of Tough to Say. This is Graham O, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host.
B. McD in the flesh, in the truth, sitting on a couch, my boy Graham O, my co-host. Audience, what is good? Audience, what is up? We're here. It's another just brutal week of getting through it.
Yeah.
Happy Monday for you all. Maybe happy Tuesday if you're a late listener. We welcome you all. And for any new ones out there, yo, yo, what's good?
And if you're new and you're curious about ways to interact with us, we have an Instagram page. We got a website. You can publish work through us. There's a multitude of ways. I'm even throwing out TikToks, but a little open floor spew. We talk about somewhat of a tumultuous week, man. Riddle me this, Barry.
I'll try and riddle you. I'm not very good at riddles.
Well, I'm talking about riddles here. A little bit of a tropical storm slash hurricane. You know, God had some other plans
it
for us this week in Florida.
It was all a tease.
So, riddle me this. If we're all at home.
Okay.
And nobody's going to school.
Correct.
And there's a hurricane. Why would they cancel school?
Yeah, they just canceled school for me. School was canceled. Because I guess they had to cancel school. I guess that's the world we live in.
You think they're getting reps for next year?
First of all, no cap. What a weird weather month.
Yeah, it's been very odd. We've had maybe 3 total days here in Gainesville, Florida that have been 50s and 60s, and the rest have been scorching and or
I would just say humid.
Swampy.
Yeah, it's
we're truly in the swamp. You know, that is the mantra that exists within Gainesville. It is the swamp, and I'll tell you, my ass will tell you, it's affirmative. We are in the swamp.
And for any new listeners out there, we're not a weather podcast.
No, but we could be if you
but
like.
But we're just good, you know, good citizens of the neighborhood, and it's important to talk about the weather. It's a unifying topic.
And I also. Just to shift the topic here into the open
shift
floor
it,
slash
you downshifting
our reflection. Oh, I'm stick shifting, that's for sure. Shout out to Brooke Machina. You need a friend like Barry. Let me tell you why. Today I woke up not feeling my best. You know, I'm balancing quite a few things in my life right now, and a coworker of mine is taking some well deserved time off, and in her absence I have to step up to the plate, and it just creates a very stressful environment. And on the side, I'm trying to get stuff out for the pod and work to build the brand and get stuff on
plenty
social.
Plenty to spew on that. Plenty of upcoming announcements.
That's very true. There will be some very interesting things to note in the future.
Sticky notes.
In the not-so-distant future. But I just woke up feeling beat, you know, really dragged out. And I think some of the energy that you might pick up on from other people if you're in an office or in a more collaborative space, it helps you get through the day, but when you're solo, man, it can be really tough. So why I note having a friend like Barry, well, we had this little shindig tonight for a friend of ours. It's her birthday. And, you know.
Honestly, 2 birthdays.
Yeah.
I got to shout out Tyler when I can.
Go ahead.
Tyler Reed.
Go ahead.
Brooke Machino.
So I didn't want to go. I planned to go for really many moons. And I woke up. I wasn't feeling great. And comes around time to game time, and I say, you know what, man, I'm pulling the plug on this. My man's guilt trips me, and really, I got to tell you, over the course of my time here in Gainesville, and for the audience that don't know me, I've had 3 serious relationships that have all gone down in flames, and you've been exhibiting signs of maybe a 4th significant other, my friend.
Damn it. You think we'll go down in flames?
I think we're going to be good because I think in my past that I've maybe not been able to let it go, but now the reason I start this whole thing off and the preface was gotta have a friend like you is because in the moment of need, you know, when I needed a kick in the ass to get me going, I had you there. So in the past, you know, with other things and dragging me to shit I don't want to go to, you know, I might hold it over them, but this one, it made sense, you know, so it was good to go. Good to see the homies. good to show a little face.
It's good to show face. It's good to be in the cut. But if anything, man, I bet you can honestly call that your last sign night ever.
Yeah, and for those that don't know, so sign nights, and this might be a little plug for our friend Caleb Presley at Barstool, maybe. We might be plugging you something soon. But the interesting dichotomy of Florida to Florida State, the rivalry, why...
It's deeper than just football, baby.
Why when a girl turns 21 at Florida, it's called a sign night, but at Florida State, it's called a waltz, but it's the same thing.
Same thing, same premise.
Still a sign.
Yeah.
Still a night dedicated to that queen.
All the baddies show up in their outfits.
All the guys show up looking awkward.
We stand there and we talk. We make fun of the whole organization.
We saw a guy today whose shirt was so deep. I've never in my entire life, my whole existence, seen a shirt this deep. Basically to this man's nips. I know that might be like an in style. I think it's a Miami thing. But man, I don't know if that really jives with me. You honestly... Go ahead and wear a V-neck. I'm not even going to cap on you, but a deep oval tee? I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Audience out there, if you or someone you know can rock an oval tee, comment on our next photo with an emoji of like the hand up guy or gal, because we were honestly petrified when we saw an oval. I actually like saying oval tee. I think it's kind of a fun
play on words. Yeah, oval tee. What was the chocolate milk back in the day?
The Trumu?
Ovaltine? Ovaltine?
Well, Ovaltine! I don't think that's chocolate milk.
That's chocolate milk!
Ovaltine?
Ovaltine's chocolate milk. They make a chocolate milk.
I've heard Lil Wayne say it in a couple songs, and I've always thought it says something else, but...
I think it's Ovaltine.
Audience out there, if you know what Ovaltine is, also comment that on a Tough to Say pod or Instagram.
Audience, if you're listening, then comment on my Instagram that you're listening and that you love me, and then DM me, and we'll have a Snapchat conversation, and then I'll alert the authorities on you.
So, audience out there... But keep addressing the audience, and I think they're going to like that.
Maybe the most we've ever talked to them.
I like that.
You're kind of sitting in the room with us.
But picture yourself Baby Yoda. In Ashton Lane, 4th Ave in Gainesville, zip code 32601. Anyways, this week has been Bray. It's my first week of actual grinding for school, honestly. I've put networking, I've put social life really on pause, on hold.
Yeah, I've noticed the shift as well, and I think a lot of us, and I maybe this is the theme of this initial spew, is balance, because we all try to balance this weird world and variables that we're given. But I think at the end of the day, when you're in a position like yourself, you do have to kind of shut the lights off.
School does that
to you. Flip up in the laptop screen and just grind.
School does that to you. Today, you know, honestly, it's been a steady decline of the workout life. And today, I just... said, you know what, I gotta do it. I have to go. I cannot make an excuse. And I'm so glad I did, because I walked out of that workout just feeling better.
Yeah.
And I shout out Joe Rogan, because he channels a lot of this energy of just like working out, getting that stress out, doing what you gotta do when you're cooped up, when you're sitting in a chair with bad posture. Also, I had an incredible idea for like a posture device chair.
You've been really mixing it up with the entrepreneurial
products. Audience, I have so many ideas that if anyone ever wants to just like joint venture / talk to an engineer for me, I got ideas. So this is a new one. It'd be like you'd wear like a coat with magnets, and you would just magnetize to the back of a chair. Because guys, I sit on my... I have a big gaming chair. And I don't even game, but my dad bought it for me, so I said, thanks, Dad. Love you.
Dude.
And my posture stinks. And I think I have good form, good presence in a room.
I would agree.
But lordy, I'm sure if I looked at myself, I'd be horrified.
Well, I'm sure everybody's familiar with the shrimp in the desk chair meme. That's basically Barry. Although when I walk in, I don't see you. You're not really slumped. It's just because you're in and out of the Excel documents, and you have to look so closely at the screen because you're looking, and I'll throw out two references here. You either look at it like hieroglyphics, or for me, it's like reading the Matrix.
Sure.
It's just these numbers in odd places that don't match up, and everything's askew.
I feel smart. I'm also the self-proclaimed now with my squad, the Argus King.
You want to explain what Argus is?
Argus is a way to analyze retail, industrial, and office leases. So
holy fuck.
Basically, you can insert a building you put its overall square footage, and then each lease, so think of it as a tenant, you then analyze it basically off of a rent roll and the cost to operate the property and the debt and the equity in it. And it's awesome because it's the next step in my education. So I'm truly actually feeling the, like, this commitment to come back to school paying off.
Yeah. And I think we're really on two different waves as we get closer and closer to the holidays. Working world, man, right around this time, a lot of people want to check some boxes before the year's up.
Yeah.
Which means people like me on the lower end get the short end of the stick.
So talk to us about what happened today.
Today, and this is something that's no unique news to those out there in corporate jobs, but, you know, because, as I referenced earlier, somebody's out and they deserve that time for sure. You know, this person kind of exists as a shield between me and the rest of my team. So now I'm picking up some of her slack. And that means, you know, getting the call right at 5 o'clock that says, you know, hey, I gotta get something in. Do you mind helping me out? And one I didn't even tell you about is when I went to Publix, grabbed my food, and went back to cook. And I'm kind of on a timetable, you know, like I'm trying to get back over here at 7:30. We got the pod. We got this birthday celebration. I get pinged at like 6:45. And someone's like, hey, I need you to do something really quick. And for that, it was more of just, I'm going to help this person out in hopes that, you know, they'll help me out down the road. And another person that was involved in this thing had also helped me out a bunch of other times. So I kind of owed him a favor. But just being constantly on call will take it out of you. And as you're ramping up for exams and visits and various things, I am really just trying to get to the finish line. I'm trying to get to break. And there's this label that's coming in for my job, and I'm not going to go in on the details because it's just so technical. But I got a lot of late nights ahead, and definitely some weekend work as well. And it's becoming more and more confirmed as the days progress. So I'm just trying to get to Thanksgiving, man, so I can just recharge a little bit, spend time with family, eat some shit, and just chill out. Like, okay. I need to take some time to chill. And the pod is never something I feel is draining. It's the most uplifting thing in my life.
You could tell. Audience out there, my man Graham O, it's passion. You could tell. You could tell him the man's the work ethic, the quality, and what he puts out there is...
I appreciate that, man.
It's what he kind of rolls out. I mean, obviously the bag is the bag, but my man rolls out of bed and does what he does, and you can obviously see it. I wanted to ask more of a lighter question.
Please.
You alluded to the holidays coming up. We have the three big ones, right? Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
Yeah.
Curious to see a ranking of the three for you.
Well, I'm going to have to throw in Hanukkah in there because I have, you know, many friends that, that celebrate Judaism. I'm going to put Christmas up there at the top. And the reason for me is it's a very magical time in the only family. And for my family that is listening, and what I've been told is everybody does tune in. You know how it is. We all sit around the tree. We have that big breakfast spread, dad's frittata. Don't sleep on a Tom Only frittata.
I'll never sleep on anything out of Tom Only's kitchen.
Whips it up. He's snacks only. You can call him snacks, Tom.
That's a DB thing I don't do.
Yeah, I don't know if any of my friends ever called my father snacks other than my friend David, but my dad thinks it's hilarious. But anyway, it's a great tradition. And then I would go Thanksgiving. You know, it's a time to reflect and show some thanks. And, you know, it depends what your cup of tea is. Maybe you're religious and you want to dip deep into your spirit, or maybe you just like to spend time with family in a little less of a overbearing environment. Like, I think Christmas has that connotation of like it's the end of the year. There's a couple other implications, but Thanksgiving is really just this commemorative gathering.
Mm.
And then I'm gonna have to put. I mean, I can't cap. Like, I'm gonna put Hanukkah right up there with Christmas because, you know, for those that celebrate it. I have so many friends out there that celebrate it, so I just have to put it on par. But what was the last one? New Year's. New Year's, guys, overrated as shit. I think every year
can
for
I throw
me,
a challenge flag?
I'll say my piece and then you can throw the challenge flag.
I like having plans, a challenge flag segment now.
I'm down. You get one a game.
You get one a game.
New Year's is overrated. You get all of these plans that I've had so many fall through last minute, or they don't come to fruition, or somebody objects and now you have to flip-flop your plans. Like, My New Year's last year, I was at a good spot, should have stayed put. My friend's like, hey, let's go to this Brooklyn club. And I thought to myself, that sounds great. It happened to just be like a random person's warehouse in like deep Bushwick. It was scary and weird. And then I ended up at like a weird dive bar. And it just, I don't know, man. It's really tough
to say.
Tough to say because there's just so many things in the ether. It's tough to do. And I honestly, low key, I think we should try to wrap it up in a little bit just because we're getting a little bit over time here. But challenge flag away. Let's introduce our guest and let's get on with the show.
Can I do my challenge flag?
Of course.
Agree with the ranking. I would just put New Year's over Thanksgiving because the content with the baddies get on their dopest, dankest outfits. And from a content point of view, you can rip Snapchat for an hour and still see content. And for a man of myself, who I am, I just enjoy the content. Compared to Thanksgiving, it's just Snapchats of mac and cheese and fucking turkey breast. I don't need that. So, anyways, yeah.
A fair challenge.
Let's introduce the guest and call it.
So we're going to shout out Amanda Gabriel. Amanda's coming on to the table. Amanda started her own public relations firm, Revel Relations. This is a really dope conversation. You can tell and you'll be able to hear this. She just exudes that confidence, but yes. There's also this chip on the shoulder mentality with her. She's really a boss ass bitch, and this was an awesome conversation. Really the first one that Barry and I did remote with different locations, and we will have a couple of those in 2021, but an awesome conversation. You a can tell queen. She brings so much to the table.
Entrepreneurialism, go-getter confidence, and also swag.
She has that swagger to her. Like she's very clear about her vision of where she wants
and her
to
brand.
Go.
I got the Instagram with her and you could tell she's very put together.
Yeah, open for opportunities but very clear in what she's building with Revel and has a full team. Even had an office in Manhattan pre-COVID. Fuck COVID, but to be our age and say I have space within, you know, one of the greatest places in the universe is truly something different. So all that to be said, welcome to the table, Amanda.
Welcome. See you guys.
Now we welcome to the table a very special guest, Amanda from Revel Revelations. Wow, that came right off the tongue. I love that. Amanda, how are we doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're great. We're actually, good. This is going to be more replicable of how we'll do things moving forward. Ordinarily, I'm in this sweet spot when I'm actually in Gainesville, but I'm back in Tampa just for a day, seeing my parents, COVID tested. I'm negative. Everything's good. And Barry's back in Gainesville, so moving forward, this will be the format. But
an audience, don't worry, like I'm still holding down the city of Gainesville here. But yes, I do miss my co-host sharing the studio with me. But we're so excited to talk to Amanda here. So
Amanda, right off the bat, what we like to do is kick it over to Barry for a little bit of five quick cues with B. B, want to take it away?
Thank you, Graham, for that handoff, my co-host there, Amanda. So a little spew. We do this as a way to kind of get the audience more of like who you are instead of the professional you, just kind of like you as Amanda. So without further ado, welcome to Five Quick Cues with B. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm so ready.
Okay, so these are like short answer, just whatever comes to the brain, hit me, all right?
Rapid fire, here we go.
If you had to choose one favorite genre of music.
Have to choose one.
Okay, pop punk.
Love that. Great start.
Wow. Now, I already kind of know where your answer might be, but which of the five New York boroughs are you, like spiritually, personally, whatever?
Okay, I have like a double answer to that. I feel like my professional style is more like Manhattan, as well as like my fashion style, I want to say, but my like heart and my soul and probably my personality is Brooklyn because I'm born and raised. Yeah, I think that answers the question.
No, that qualifies.
Not to derail the five quick cues really quick, but I will say I will be joining you in Brooklyn. I know you know this. We talked about it earlier, but I'm a fake Brooklyner. I haven't even moved there yet. I'm not even within the zip code. But when I do, I need to take some lessons from you.
Yeah, I'm down. I will have a whole class set for you.
Okay, amazing. Flat brim hats, Hasidic Jews, the Russians. I'm excited for everything.
Yeah, that's pretty much the south side of Brooklyn where I'm from. So,
all right, Barry, go ahead.
Thank you, co-host. Amanda, number three. Obviously, in a COVID-less world, do you prefer more of the at-home kind of vibe or out on tour?
Out on tour, 100%. If I can, I really, like, not for nothing, really hate being home. I feel like, obviously, I've been trying to do things to, like, stay motivated and work and, you know, try not to hate myself. But I would 100% rather be on tour traveling, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah. Okay, number four. We're getting close to number five here.
Okay.
Number four. Kind of answer this how you want. So, first starting out, would your vibe have been join a bigger firm, maybe a corporation, or self-employed, just entrepreneurial, kick the doors down, the world is mine? What are you?
Ooh, I actually get asked this question a lot. Honestly, I feel like if the opportunity came up where I had my dream job and I worked for, let's say, doing PR or like scouting talent for Saturday Night Live, or if I directly did PR for my favorite band, which is All Time Low, I would 100% do that. But I am really happy, you know, working for myself and obviously having my own schedule and doing things on my terms, you know, without having to work for other companies just for the sake of like having a 9-to-5. Yeah, like I'm very happy doing what I'm doing. But if I, you know, had the chance to have like this wonderful experience of like a dream job, I would 100% take it.
Versatile, but available is what I'm hearing.
Basically.
Okay, Barry. Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up, shall we? Question five.
Yes.
Best place for engagement on the various social medias, whether for the brand or just for you personally. Which one do you gravitate towards?
Ooh, probably Instagram. Instagram, yeah. That's because that's how we scout talent and that's how we promote ourselves and promote, you know, all of the people. And if we ever want to do cross promotion with somebody, that's usually how we do it. I feel like Instagram is definitely my favorite.
Well, we would love to be maybe cross then. We would love to be those partners.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's something in the pipeline, but what a beautiful transition to getting a little bit to know about you, about Revel. We'd love to hear about who Amanda is, what Revel Relations is, your story, your come up. We're just going to pass you the microphone for a second and let you run with it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like talking about this, I have to talk about kind of, you know, from the beginning. So I grew up obviously in, you know, a Russian Jewish family and a community of Russian Jews. In this culture, in order to be successful, you have to either be an accountant, a lawyer, or a doctor, or else anything else like doesn't even matter. So I went to college originally to be a lawyer. And my mom was happy about it because she, my whole life, said I would be a great lawyer. I went to college, I was in like pre-law, and I decided I really did not like it. I hated it. I did not care about what we were learning. I did not, you know, care to do anything about it. And I could say like myself, like I'm smart. I like being in school and stuff like that. But to be honest, if I don't have something that I'm passionate about, I don't care for it much, right? So I decided to completely like change my path and change my major, not knowing what I was going to do in my life, but I just decided to become an English major because I'm a writer. And that's something I've always loved ever since I was in elementary school. So I was like, I'm just going to, you know, be an English major and we'll see what happens. Lo and behold, I ended up getting an internship with a music magazine and it ended up completely changing the game for me. Like I can't even begin to explain. Like I was so happy doing what I was doing. I was going to shows. I wasn't even getting paid for it, but I was going to shows. I was writing about these artists. I was, you know, going backstage and meeting these artists and interviewing them and having my writing be out there on this big platform. And I was so happy. I was like in my prime. And then I was like, I want to dip my feet into different parts of the music industry because I've always loved it. I've always loved like Warped Tour. My dream was to always go to Coachella, like all this stuff. So I decided that I'm going to apply for different internships. I ended up getting a couple different internships. I believe this was my senior year of college. I had like maybe four or five different internships for like a record label, a couple different public relations companies. And, you know, I was doing everything from marketing and advertising artists to booking their shows, booking their tours, like helping them with their social media, you know, doing everything. And once I was getting close to graduating, one of the places that I worked for, I absolutely hated. The reason I hated it, not because of what I was doing, but because of the person that I worked for. So when I was about to graduate, I decided with one of the girls that worked with me that we're going to start a PR company. And I was like, this is great. Like, I've learned so much that I know that I can do it myself. The record label ended up going on tour. And all I wanted to do was go on this tour. Like, I did not care about anything around me. I just wanted to go on this tour. And that's why I stuck it out for so long. So I ended up going on this tour and we put the idea of the PR company on hold. I went on the tour, got to tour with my favorite bands, and, you know, be in that lifestyle, it's not like anything else, but like I would do that in a heartbeat again, if I was doing it for myself and not working for somebody, but that's besides the point. So once that ended, I quit that record label and quit everything else. And I decided with this girl that we're going to do this PR company. We ended up doing it with all of our connections, meeting a bunch of different bands that wanted to work with us. And we did it for a few months. And then it just didn't work out. You know, sometimes it's really hard to sometimes find a partner that's going to completely be on the same page as you. And we just weren't on the same page. So we decided to part ways. And then I was like, I still want to do this. I'm still good at it. I still have a bunch of, you know, connections and people who still want to work with me. So I was like, I'm going to start this company. And for some reason decided to name it Revel Relations. It kind of resonated with me, but there were like 20 or 30 other names on the list. With, of course, the help of my best friend, who's actually our creative director, and my sister, who helps with the social media. But yeah, now we have this. We've been going for over, I want to say, a year and a half. In January this year, we made a year. And yeah, it's been going great. We're very known in like the Brooklyn music scene. A lot of the submissions that we get are from word of mouth. And, you know, I'm hoping this becomes an empire. And, you know, somebody hears Rebel Relations, they're like, oh, I know, my favorite band is signed to them. So that's kind of about me.
Help! Help! I'm out of options and I can't find anywhere to collaborate!
Ma'am or sir, this is tough to say. Is there a domestic issue in your home?
Yes! I'm afraid I don't know where to locate insight and thought-provoking work!
Dude lady, I am a police officer. Protect and serve from other podcasts!
Sit tight, crippled person. I'm going to direct you to toughtosay.com. Where you can publish whatever the fuck, like articles and shit.
Oh, thank you so much, Grandma. You're my hero.
Put the officer on the phone. Fuck 12, Daddy.
This is an advertisement that we keep doing, and we don't think anything is actually scripted or funny at all, but we're going to keep doing this as an advertisement, and please enjoy and read our shit, and we love you. Anyway, back to the spew.
So there's a lot of things to unpack, obviously. And, you know, while we want this to be as much about you as possible, you know, it is a curious question to prod a little bit about when you were eventually parting ways with this partner. And of course, a friend, right? It's really ordinarily just for business reasons. But my question would be, when you made the decision mutually to move without one another, and you said, this is something I'm very passionate about, not only is the passion there, but the knowledge and the experience, I'm really able to make this thing roll and ride the wave. What was that initial feeling like? What were the emotions when you first started to kick things off, knowing that you were going to have a support group? Yes, but you would be you'd be the captain of the ship.
Well, I feel like I was submerged with two feelings. Definitely anxious and excited, because I'm not saying that I'm like a control freak at all, but I know what I'm capable of and I know my worth. And I know that if I can put 150% into something, it's going to be amazing. And that's kind of what I wanted. And you know, there's nothing personal towards anybody, but it's just, I feel like when, if I know what I want, I don't have to rely on anybody else. I can make the decisions. I can do what I need to do. I don't have to wait on anybody. I was anxious because this was like a big step that I was taking, you know, by myself, but you know, obviously making it a legal entity in New York and like having, you know, this corporation under my name, it was very overwhelming. But at the same time, I was so excited because this is like my baby now, you know. I literally run a team of people at 24 years old. And I know it may not, we live in a world of entrepreneurs right now, but it's really like, it makes me happy and proud of myself, the amount that I've done, you know. And I really wish that I told that anxious girl that was scared to do this, like, you got this, girl, like, this is going to be great, you know?
Hell, so yeah.
Amanda, that's really kind of fired up. You just mentioned kind of all the hurdles that it took to not only start the business, but also the overwhelming nature of starting this and bringing on a team. Yeah. How have you managed all that? What are ways that you have just not totally fallen apart or just blown up? Because I mean, Graham can attest, sometimes when I get pretty busy, I show signs of just fatigue. So maybe for the audience, what have been some ways you've dealt with all this craziness?
I'm not going to lie to you. Like, there are days where I just don't want to get out of bed, or I cry myself to sleep because I'm so overwhelmed and scared, you know, like obviously with the world that we live in, it's pretty scary. Just mute that. Sorry.
All good. We have that too. Most of my coworkers have children screaming in the background, so I tend to think that a notification's cool with me.
All right, good. I'm glad. I'm sorry. I was trying to like turn this off. It wasn't working.
No worries.
Yeah. I mean, I get overwhelmed really easily, and again, I get a lot of anxiety and stuff like that. Ways that I found that really helps me is I kind of take 5 minutes to myself at first, and I'm just like, okay, like look at the bigger picture, right? I'm overwhelmed. I'm going to be overwhelmed and probably anxious and crazy for another few years. But then when I'm, let's say, in my 30s and this company grew to be everything I dreamed of, and I have a whole team that took over the craziness in a sense, it's all going to be worth it. And I'm going to have something I built. On top of that, just, you know, a regular thing that if there's any anxiety ever, definitely talk to somebody. Like I talked to my mom. I have a friend, her name is Jennifer, and she's the type, I think she's the only person in the world that I've met that like understands my anxieties, even if it's the smallest thing. Cause like, I'm also an overthinker, right? And it's really hard to be an overthinker and run a business.
Preach.
So yeah. but my advice is definitely, besides, you know, taking 5 minutes to like breathe and look at the bigger picture, talk to somebody about it. Because if you're like, I tend to overthink about stupid things and blow it up into something that it's not. So definitely talk to somebody and see if there's, you know, even a point to stress out this much about it. And, you know, if it's out of your control, there's no point to like even stress about it as much. I guess that's kind of the advice I would give.
And I think it's so important for us to be reflective and aware of that, because oftentimes we want the best, we want perfection, and truthfully, that's unattainable. All we can do is wake up each day, conquer the day as we see fit, take small victories, and continue to grind. And I know one thing I picked up on of the many that you just discussed, that vision element. Vision is seemingly so crucial, and that's one of the bedrocks of entrepreneurship, is being able to grind, yes, keep your head down, eyes up, continue to go forward, move forward quickly, decisively, but having that vision element be very clear so that everybody's aligned to what we're working towards. How do you keep everybody that you have amassed on your team focused on that mission and goal as you work towards this goal, which is going to be building Revel up to be a powerhouse, knowing that it's not going to be easy, but knowing that if you have the right characters and players in the mix, that you can actualize that dream?
I'm going to be honest. I'm really lucky to be working with people who have that passion in music and that passion to, you know, grow something and want to be a part of something amazing. Initially, you know, before I take somebody on, I speak to them and I feel like I have a pretty good judge of character and I see kind of how they are. You know, and I, something that I do with a lot of the people that I work with is even with the smallest successes, I praise them no matter what, because any kind of help, even if it's like bringing on an artist who wants a small service or whatever it is, I praise, you know, the people that help me because it motivates them to want to do more and, you know, maybe even one day build something of their own. And I feel like that's something that really, you know, helps them want to keep doing something. And I'm never, I don't, for lack of a better word, I guess, I don't really expect anything from anybody, if that makes sense.
Totally.
I put, you know, I tell people what this is and I, you know, whoever is interested, I, you know, comes on and has, you know, I have a chat with them. And a lot of the people that, you know, submit to us and that want to work with us are people that are very passionate about music and are working with amazing artists that, you know, these artists may be small now, but one day they're going to be big. And it, I work with people that genuinely believe in our roster, which is, I think, so amazing. And you don't find that a lot. So I think that's definitely a great thing that I'm very grateful for. And, you know, even in the future, I definitely want to take on people who believe in what I'm doing. I think when you're passionate about something and you believe in it, it works, you know?
So given, you know, these new artists, I mean, and how you've talked about touring and just how important that's been in the past, and obviously the internet and just that importance has grown. How has these last, you know, gosh, it's kind of flown by, but maybe 8 months, that might be off, maybe 6 months, just everything with COVID maybe changed your business model and or changed the artist's kind of growth trajectory or track and rate of like seeing increases? You know, how has everything changed?
I want to say there are some pros and cons. The cons are definitely that a lot of these artists and, you know, generally a lot of artists in the music industry, they rely on touring and, you know, playing shows as their income. And this definitely, so many artists that I've worked with had a huge hit in that because, you know, they can't make as much money as they were making because, you know, they're not able to play. But at the same time, and I feel like it's because many more people are at home and, you know, are on their Spotify or Apple Music and like, wow, like looking at so many more artists, I find that numbers have been going up a lot. You know, because now we're focusing on where their song is going to be streamed and what playlist is going to be streamed on. And now, you know, if their song was on TikTok or something like that, now yeah. It's like their numbers are going up. The only con I would say is that, yeah, they can't play shows and they're not making as much money. But hopefully in the long run, when everything opens back up, now it's like more people are going to want to go see them, you know?
I think that's an incredible kind of outlook and way to kind of take the negative of everything and make it positive is of growing the fan base. I mean, I was looking at obviously Revel's website and it was cool to see the, call them services maybe, that you offer. And you know, it kind of got me thinking like, wow, you know, getting on these playlists is so important. I'm a listener of kind of, and Graham will laugh, pretty much exclusively hip hop.
Exclusively a very specific type of rap. Like,
so,
yeah, like Lil Wayne is the god in Barry's eyes, and other fellas, like, he's a young boy guy. Like, my man's isn't wearing black Air Force Ones, but, like, basically could. Anyway, Barry.
No, I got to shout out future Hendrix too. But no, I mean, just knowing that space, I mean, given kind of your background, what have been some of the what's the learning curve on these platforms been like? I mean, I don't even know how to start looking at other playlists. So maybe just catch us up to speed on what you've kind of have been forced to conquer.
So something that I've been learning since I started this company was how to get artists on playlists. Cause that's like a big thing. Cause not a lot of the time, you know, so there's two different types of playlists. There's a playlist that Spotify makes on their own. And then there's playlists that like independent people make that, somebody finds and they follow it and they have a lot of followers. Meaning that if you get on that playlist, you know, you're going to have 50,000 people listening to your music. So it's beneficial. Obviously, I learned how to, you know, submit this music to actual Spotify playlists. But on top of that, I had to make a lot of connections with independent curators on Apple Music, Spotify, and now we're working with like Amazon Music as well. So I had to make, you know, those connections, which was really hard also because if you ask any artist, you can have somebody who has 60,000 followers on a playlist, but they're not going to get any streams. And that's because that playlist has fake followers versus ones who have genuine followers, you know, that their music is actually getting streamed. It's different. So I definitely, that was a crazy struggle for me. I can't even begin to explain to you, but, you know, now not only, you know, do we work with people who their playlists are active, but I've literally sat down from like the first day that they would be on this playlist till like, let's say the end of the month and see how their, you know, streams have grown. So now we have like market research for that too. And it's very, it's a lot, you know, because you never know what it's going to be, if it's going to be active or if it's not going to be active. And on top of that, I feel like a lot of people are scamming artists. So I had to, you know, look for people who aren't scamming artists where they have these like bot followers.
Oh, the fucking bots. The bots are crazy. And they exist in so many other avenues and other industries.
I know. It's so crazy because somebody's going to pay $60 for a placement and they don't get any benefit from it. You know, like it's literally hurting people. It's hurting artists. It's horrible. So I definitely had to find a lot of people. And, you know, a tool that I've been using recently is TikTok. Like it's funny because I thought that TikTok was stupid at first, but now I literally go on there and I guess it's like my algorithm or whatever, but my For You page is literally all people posting about their playlists. And I, you know, find their Instagram or find their email or whatever and hit them up and say, you know, we'll promote you and, you know, stuff like that. So I've definitely been making those connections. That's actually how I met Graham.
I was about to say, like, yeah. TikTok is what led us down the journey of getting to this point today. And having also just delved into it purely as me consuming content as a place to laugh, my FYP is obviously fucking bizarre. But when I put mine out and I got some subtle traction and engagement and you reached out, now I'm introduced to such incredible people like yourself. Who are willing to have these types of conversations with us. And I can't thank TikTok enough. But one thing I'm so curious about, because at this point, I wouldn't even say, you know, Revel is getting traction. Like, you've grown Revel into a place where it is becoming a serious contender. And I imagine because of the growth that you have a lot of people knocking on your door. I'm very curious about how you evaluate talent, because in this incredibly saturated market, I can imagine it's becoming increasingly difficult to differentiate artists.
Yeah. I think my biggest thing on how we, you know, bring on people and how we decide is, obviously I don't want to say that their music has to be good because that's just an opinion. But there has to be some level of passion behind it. There has to be, you know, some level of like, they tried really hard. They found somebody who really mixed and mastered this. And it's, you know, it's good. rather than there are lots of SoundCloud rappers, not to be like mean about it, but there are lots of SoundCloud rappers who really don't care. They just want to kind of put shit out there, you know? But on top of that, I also want to make sure that these people are grinding and they're, you know, posting at least weekly. You know, they're talking to their audience. They're doing stuff. We have an A&R team who, you know, also looks for artists every week. And I tell them, I'm like, I don't want somebody who last time they posted was in 2006. Like, I want somebody who's posting constantly and wanting to like grow their audience. Because when I work with somebody who has a passion, it only makes my passion grow just as much. I don't want to work with somebody just for a quick buck. I really don't care about that, to be honest with you. So
but for real, how many Sad Boy SoundCloud rappers come in and ask you to put them on?
Honestly, more than I'm proud of.
I don't know if you're familiar with this, because you're a New Yorker, I bet you are, but I don't know if you're familiar with the C Lounge in the Lower East Side. Do you happen to be you know about the C Lounge?
No, I have not heard of that.
So the C Lounge is a hookah lounge that I used to live above, classic early New York Chronicle vibes. Oh, wow. And the SoundCloud rappers that would go in and out of this place, it was so hilarious. And they used to film a bunch of the music videos like right outside of this construction site. And you can kind of tell, like, I'm never one to judge a book by its cover, but like just based on like the crews and the level of professionalism and seriousness that you can see them taking, it does kind of present yourself with a situation where you're like, I kind of know what they're all about. And that's the case for male or female. But, you know, one of the things you mentioned with that grind, I can imagine when you're watching somebody really putting content out there, you know, really getting in the weeds of songwriting, working on their personal brand, pushing everything out there as much as they humanly can. How much do you learn from some of your leading artists that are teaching you? Because you're obviously on another level of grind, right? Like you've put them on a platform that you've built for their success. But I can imagine that growth is such a two-way street.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from what I've learned from them, I mean, I've learned a lot. I feel like being here, and I've learned the people who are grateful and the people who aren't grateful. And it's really funny to me because my company, like, my biggest thing and our, I guess you could say, mission statement is like, I am more than happy to accommodate an artist if I feel that they truly care and truly want to do this and truly want something to happen, right? And I'm more than happy to do that. And I've had artists who, you know, not for nothing, don't pay me anything and are very, well, you know, pay me less than what we should be getting paid and literally want to be treated like they're Blink 182 with 200 followers versus, you know, people who we're working with who have like 10, 20K who are paying me the amount that, you know, we are set to be paid and are so grateful for even the smallest thing that we do. And I think that's like the biggest thing, because I'm not going to lie to you. Like when we first started, you know, the other company that I had, we didn't want to say no to anybody because, you know, we wanted to grow. But it's like, you can't stop yourself from like being who you are and like, you know, being treated like you're not human just for a quick buck. So I think like something I've learned is that I have a really good judge of character, and I make sure that the people that we work with are grateful, I guess you can say, you know, because it sucks working with somebody who everything you do is a problem or not enough or whatever. And I've definitely learned how to differentiate people who are like down to earth and I guess understanding and grateful rather than people who are not grateful and want to, you know, think that they're bigger than they are.
Well, one thing too, and I wish I was eye to eye, because it's something that I'm genuinely curious about for our brand, because we are in this growth stage, and right, we're always going to be in this perpetual growth stage.
Right.
But because we're in this place where we're really riding the wave from base ideation, right? We're very much in that infancy stage. When do you really know when to say no, or when to at least say this isn't the right fit? Because to your point, at first, you just want to get people involved. Like, you want to get people moving. It's going to help you generate traction. And bottom line, like, we're all in it for the right reasons. Like, we're trying to help other people succeed. But at what point do you think you know that, hey, it's time for us to become pretty selective? Like, at this point, we've grown to a level where we can pick and choose.
I think that's really your kind of own thing that you have to figure out on your own. I think for me, the breaking point was I had somebody who, for the amount that she was paying me, her and her manager, I could say, for the amount that they were paying me, I gave them the world. And that's my thing about me, that no matter if an artist is big or small, I will treat all of my artists the same. And I was giving her the world. And it's like every day it was something new that she was not happy about, or like something as small as like we weren't able to edit a photograph, or, you know, whatever, even though it was in our contract. And I didn't even speak to the artist. I spoke to the manager all the time. She basically told me something, even though it was in breach of the contract, that she was gonna get a lawyer or something like that, because we couldn't post a picture or something stupid, something so small. But that day I realized, I was like, this is a lot bigger than me. Because I don't want to work with people like this that think that they're bigger than they are. Mm. You know, want, like, don't know how to speak to people. I don't know if I really explained the story correctly in the way, but this is kind of getting out of it, you know. Just, I wanted to be selective at that point and make it a bigger process to bring on artists, you know, speak to them more and figure out who they are and, you know, how they are, even though that a lot of the time you won't know somebody until you're with them all the time, or like, you know, work with them all the time. But I just realized, I was like, I want to work with people who are more, not necessarily more passionate, but more down to earth. And I was like, I need to be more selective. I can't just bring on people who are paying me a small amount of money and I'm giving them the world, but expect more and more from me. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense.
No, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I just wanted to say, you know, no matter who you are, no matter what your stature is, there is just a level of professionalism and respect. I think respect is always something that I strive for in my career. I think people might throw out blanket statements like, you know, they want to seek success or fame. But I think for me, it's always just been respect. And I think that starts from day one.
Yeah, 100%. Go ahead. I was just going to say, I was talking to somebody earlier about this. And I think the biggest flex that you can have, in my opinion, and something that can make somebody very successful, is if you treat the CEO the same way you're going to treat the janitor.
I think that rings so true.
Yeah, like I don't feel the need to be inhumane to somebody or whatever. And I feel very strongly about this, especially after that one artist. I feel like that one artist that I worked with was like a turning point for me.
That's what it sure sounds like. I kind of want to pivot from there, since you've discovered the clarity and maybe a little bit of just, you know, how valuable you are and what you bring to artists. I mean, as we approach hopefully a vaccine, and as we, I think, kind of nationally open up a little bit, what's kind of next for you and your company and your brand, and what, you know, what's on the horizon for you and Revel?
Honestly, what's in my mind right now, besides everything, you know, that we're doing, obviously we want to continue working with artists and hopefully bring on really great artists moving forward. But something that's on my mind is, I hear that they might be bringing back Warped Tour next year. So I'm like really hoping that my company would be able to vent for them, basically like go on tour with them and like sell merch and, you know, market our artists or whatever it is. And I honestly, that's like a dream. And hopefully that's going to be what's next. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to hopefully push us in that direction, but yeah.
Well, it's funny, as I was doing my prep / homework for our interview here, and I Googled Warped Tour, because remember, I listen to a handful of artists, and I grew up kind of on a golf course, so I'm not the most familiar with that, and I'll be the first to admit, but I did see some conversation being like, just on the quick first Google page, hey, when's the next one? Like, I see the chatter about it, so I'm hopeful as well for you, because hopefully, you know, I think society, obviously there's an incredible base for that service. 100%.
Yeah. I always said if I ever go back on tour after, you know, the time that I did with the person that I worked for, I'm never going on tour again unless it's under my company. And hopefully that's going to happen. That would be like, well, checklist.
I got to ask, I mean, assuming we can get back on the tour here, can Graham and I get a couple of backstage passes and maybe fly to a show or something?
100%. If I'm on that tour, yeah, come. I got you. All access pass.
Catch me catch me on the TTS PJ. Flying in on the tarmac. Well, I think in totality, we see a story of determination and really of independence. I think when we look at our own individual stories, you know, we've traveled to this point in a very unconventional and irregular path. And something that we always like to ask our guests as we wrap things up, what does unconventional mean to you? What has it been as a driving force for you in your story?
You know, I was thinking about that question a lot. And I think just for me personally, well, first off, being, you know, the culture that I'm in, if I go to a family party with a bunch of Russians and they're like, oh, what are you doing now? Are you in law school? I'm like, no, I'm working with music artists. They're like, are you sure? You know?
Yeah, I know the vibe.
So I feel like with everything going on, I'm able to kind of break the odds or defy the odds where I'm actually successful in this. You know, we did have an office earlier in the year, but because of everything, we're not able to go there anymore. But that was interesting, like going to family parties and being like, yeah, I got my own office that I financed on my own. And they're like, wow, are you sure? So, you know, I think for me, it's what makes it unconventional is that I'm able to show that I can be successful without, you know, the opinions of people. And, you know, I kind of feel like I'm a lot bigger than the haters. And a lot of people said throughout my life that, you know, I'm not going to be successful and I'm not going to be able to do it. And I had a lot of family members too that were like, you should go to law school, even though you want to do this. Like, you're only going to be successful if you go to grad school and law school and stuff like that. So I feel like, you know, because I'm becoming so successful in what I'm doing, I can finally be like, wow, everybody else was wrong. And besides that, as somebody who deals with like anxiety and, you know, moments of depression and stuff like that, I'm able to kind of work through it and just live the life and, you know, make the life that I've always dreamed of. And I feel like no matter what obstacle somebody can have, you can always make the life that you want. And I genuinely believe that, even though, you know, there are times you could ask me and I'm like, I hate this and I, you know, wouldn't want to die. At the end of the day, I'm like, this is going to be great. And I'm doing everything that I can to make the life that I wanted.
There will always be doubters and haters, but they only have the power you give them. That's my man, 21 Savage, Morgan Freeman on Savage Mode 2. I think that is something that we've seen, especially within the month of October, as we kick things off the ground as well. Is like, look, man, you're always going to face some opposition, but that's what keeps you sharp. And that's when you go back in the tool shed and rekindle. Well,
and Amanda, I love that. Just not to backtrack, but I mean, having that look at the haters in the rearview mirror and have proved them wrong, you know, just major kudos and shout out you, because that's pretty dope.
Yeah, YGG, YGG, big time. Amanda, this has been awesome. We really, really thank you for coming on. And it's so cool. Like TikTok having landed us in this position to chop it up and talk a little about your story, about Revel, and about some of those factors that you need to stay on the cutting edge. It's really dope. We can't say thank you enough. This has been dope.
Thank you so much for having me.
Barry, any last thoughts, my man?
I'm just looking forward to getting on tour and getting those passes and and hopping on a PJ with our gang here. Cause you know, it's awesome. Well, I absolutely love this conversation. Great, awesome energy and looking forward to kind of seeing where things go when things hopefully have COVID in the rearview mirror. So
thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys do too. I know you guys are blowing up and that TikTok video up to.
that seems to be our calling card these days. I can always just go like, hey, I'm the dude from that TikTok video. I love being that guy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Amanda, we're gonna wrap this thing up, but again, this has been great, and obviously we won't be strangers. We'll stay in touch
for sure. I'm here when you guys need me.
Okay,
in Brooklyn,
no less. But everybody check out Amanda and Revel Relations. We'll be brand ambassadors soon enough. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, Amanda. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.